wants, we just want to follow what he wants. And praise God, I am confident that he wanted the young people to share, that's for sure. Praise God. Proverbs 11. Let's open up with this scripture, and then we're going to launch off from there. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, it reads this way. It says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. A generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." This morning, we're going to continue in our study on power principles. And so far, if you look up on the big screen, you'll notice on the next slide, there have been so far six power principles that we looked at. And today, we're going to look at the seventh and probably the final one for this particular series. You'll notice, as we've been talking about them, the power of the cross or the power of the blood. We talked about number two, the power of God's word. Three, the power of the name of Jesus. Number four, the power of the Holy Spirit. Five is the power of prayer. And then the power of love. And there's obviously many more things we could say about every single one of those things. But today, we want to at least begin talking to you about the power of giving. And before everybody gets all nervous and shaky today, I'm not necessarily talking, though it's included, but I'm not just talking about the power of giving in the area of finances. I'm talking about the power of generosity. I'm talking about living in a generous way, in a giving way, in more areas than just finances. And we're going to see in the beginning of this, we're going to see God is a generous God. God is a giving God. And he hasn't given us any in terms of, he didn't give us out any funny or any money, I should say, any finances. But praise God, he has blessed us with so many things. He has given us a lot of things. Amen. And so we want to look at some of this in terms of the nature of God, first of all, and some of the things that he's given us. And we're going to just do a survey here. And we're going to start in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's going to be easy turning. I'm going to have you turn to a lot of scriptures, but they're going to be almost in sequence with one another, very close by to each other. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And let's begin with some of these things. God, Roman numeral number 2 says, God, the greatest giver. God, the greatest giver. And I've got about 20 things here. 20 things pertaining to some things that God has given you and me. 20 things. And there's more. But let's start with these. Let's look at these things because I want to build your faith. I want to build your faith with the Word of God pertaining to God's desire to bless your life. To bless your life, not so that you can, just splurge it upon yourself, but to bless your life so that you can be a blessing. As it speaks of Abraham, Abraham was blessed in order to be a blessing, right? And so we are in covenant with the living God. And covenant means basically that our lives have been merged together with his. That now our life is his life. His life is our life. And now the assets, the talents are all mutually shared together in our covenant with Almighty God. And so in looking at some of these things, we're going to just go through some of the scriptures. And I encourage you to mark them as you're so inclined. But notice now, in Matthew chapter 7 is the first one we'll start with. Notice what verse 11 reads. Jesus is speaking. He speaks and says this. If you then being evil. And that's a comparison. In other words, in comparison to God, he's saying you are evil. Because his goodness so outweighs any goodness we have. Isn't that right? And so he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts. Everybody say good gifts. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is a giver of good things. Amen? He's a giver of good things. You know, growing up in church, I never would have fathomed that God was a giver of good things. I had this idea that God was out to get me. How about you? I mean, I had no idea that God was out for my good, that God is a giver of good things. I can't tell you how many times I have looked back in my life and realized, you know what, I was lied to as a kid. I realized, and boy, what a revelation, when I came to the knowledge of knowing that God was after my good. Amen? And so the first blank in your notes here, number one, he has given us good things. He has given us good things. And many of the things we say after this are going to be in line with the good things that he has given. Notice in Matthew 16, you're close by. Go over to Matthew chapter 16 and let's see another passage of things that are said that have been given to us. Notice in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, Jesus is speaking. And this is after Peter had the revelation of who he was. He said, "You are the Christ, The Son of the living God, Peter said, by inspiration of God. And it goes on and it says, let's read verse 18. And also I say to you, he's speaking now to Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock, the rock of revelation of who he was. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so he's saying what? He has given you, and this is the next blank. He has given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's good news. Amen. Amen. He has given you the keys. Say, I've got the keys. What do keys do? Keys unlock doors. They open doors. They also will lock doors. Isn't that right? And so in the context of this, it's talking about who Jesus is. It's talking about that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says that I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. And he says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And the implication is certainly there that the keys of the kingdom of heaven are those keys of authority. Keys mean authority. And we have authority over the gates of hell, don't we? Amen? And as long as we recognize and exercise that authority over the gates of hell, then we will not be conquered over, but the church will be victorious. Amen? Say, he's given me the keys. Now, some of those keys are mentioned right up here on this screen. The blood is a key, amen, to authority and to the keys of the kingdom. The Word of God, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prayer is certainly a part of that as well. Keys of the kingdom. Number three, let's look at Matthew 11. I love this, and I know when I wrote it, I said somebody's going to need this today. And Ben almost quoted this verse of Scripture in his testimony. He came real close, and I'm gonna fill in the parts he missed. Is that all right, Ben? All right. In Matthew chapter 11, it says in verse 29, Jesus is speaking here. We're talking about what God has given us. These are not all the things he's given us, but these are things that are specifically said. I went through the entire New Testament, and I printed it off, all the Scriptures. They're talking about give, given, gave. And I print them off, went through them to see some of these things. Notice verses 29 and 30 of Matthew 11. Jesus speaking says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so what has he given us? He has given us rest. He has given us his yoke. He has given us, and that is the blank that you want to fill in here, that he has provided rest for those who come to him. There is rest in him. There is rest. He's saying to us that may be weary, that may be heavy laden, that he said, if you'll come to me and you'll learn from me, that implies the Word of God. Receive the Word of God. He says there'll be rest for our souls. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when you think about a yoke of oxen, you know that a yoke is a wooden instrument, or whatever you want to call it, a wooden device, a mechanism that yokes two oxen together so that those two oxen, they add to each other's strength. They walk together. They go the same direction. Isn't that right? Two oxen can do more together than each of them can do individually. It's called synergism, synergy, where two can operate with more strength together than each of them added together in their strength alone. And so the oxen yoked together, you and I, he said, take my yoke upon you. Be yoked together with Jesus. When you do, your strength and his strength coming together. How many of you know you got his strength, man? You cannot be defeated. Amen. And so you're yoked together with him. And he says, when you're yoked together with me, which comes by learning of him and following him, you're yoked together, meaning you're going the same direction as he's going, right? What happens then? Then he says that you will not be burdened or heavy laden. You will not have a heavy load, but you'll have rest, right? My yoke, he says, is easy. Why? Because you put faith in him, he'll do the work, right? Anything we do for God, we got to trust him that he's going to do the work through us. That we're just going to be a vessel, right? When we do it in our own strength, then we get wore out. When we do it in our own strength, it's called burnout, right? But when we depend upon his strength, his power. Let me tell you something. I didn't feel like coming up here and preaching this morning. I'm telling you that right now. Amen. Because these kids, they kept me up. I was here waiting for my daughter. Amen. And so I was here 1 o'clock this morning. Amen. And so, you know, I'm going on 3 hours of sleep, but I want you to know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. When we depend upon him and his strength within us. Amen. Amen. Say, he's given me rest. All right, so he has given us good things. He's given us keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that having to do with authority, and we'll mention another one about that in a minute. He has given us and provided rest for us who come to him. Number 4, Jesus has given his life a ransom for many. He paid the ransom. And there's a lot of things we could talk about that. And some of these intertwine together. They go together in many respects. The next one, Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. Now that goes together with keys to the kingdom, but it's emphasized. We won't go there, but Luke 10 and verse 19, what did Jesus say to his disciples? And I want to emphasize his disciples mean you and me. Are you a disciple today? Amen. And so what he said to his disciples in this case, he also says it to you and me. And what did he say? He said, behold, I give you power, or I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. Amen? And he says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Before he said that, he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, right? And those are pictures of the enemy, Satan and his cohorts. And so treading, the idea of treading has the idea of having complete mastery over. Complete mastery over, to walk on the enemy, to walk on him in Jesus' name. Amen. You have authority. You don't have to have the enemy run a roughshod over your life. You've got authority. And I want to ask you a question today. As we're talking about what God has given us and generosity, the generosity of God, I want to ask you today, is there something that has mastery over you that you know you should be taking mastery over in Jesus' name? Because sometimes what we do is we forget, or we get lazy, or we enjoy what's mastering us. Or whatever the case may be, but I want to encourage you today that if there is something that you know is not of the kingdom of God, there is something that is mastering your life. Begin today to use the word of God. Begin today to use the name of Jesus. And the Bible promises that you have authority in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the word to have mastery over all the power of Satan. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. We're talking a lot today about freedom and victory and all of that. I want you to know that is available to you and me, but it doesn't just fall into our laps. Amen. We've got to appropriate it. Isn't that right? Yes. It's like that lady. I've shared this before with you, some of you, but some of you never heard about that old lady that was visited by a man who was living in dire poverty. And the man, as he's visiting with her, he sees this certificate up on the wall, all dusty and covered over, and he asked if he could look at it. And she said, sure, you may look at it. And so he dusted off, and he saw that this woman, this certificate, which she thought was just a nice thing to look at, it looked pretty, she was illiterate and couldn't read. And so she had no idea what the certificate meant. When he took it off the wall, dusted it off, he saw that this woman, who is living in dire poverty, was actually an heir of a fortune, but never knew it. But never knew it. And you know, you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we need to know it and read the will that's been left us and appropriate it by faith, because it doesn't just fall into our laps. Amen? Now, you know what? If that gentleman had said to the lady, you know what? This means you're an heir. You have an inheritance, that you're a wealthy woman. You just got to go claim that wealth. If she had just not believed him, if she had just said, well, you know, I'm sorry. I just can't believe it. Just put that thing back up on the wall and let it sit there. How many of you know she could be an heir of a fortune? And even though she knows it, and even though, you know, she's aware of it, if she doesn't have faith enough to go act on that, she's still going to live in the level of poverty that she's in. Isn't that right? And you know, the same way with you and me. If we don't act on what we know, if we don't exercise faith in the promises of God, in what the inheritance is that is ours, if we just say, well, that's nice, that's good, or not believe it, you know, when you believe something, you act on it. When you really believe it, you do something about it. Isn't that right? And so I encourage you today to act on that word, act on that word, act on that authority, the power over the enemy. You are an heir of freedom. Liberty is yours. It's yours to claim and yours to take a hold of by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then number 6, one of the things Or in this case, he's not a thing. He's a person. God has given us the Holy Spirit. There are so many scriptures. I enumerated several of them about the Holy Spirit been given to us. He has been given to us. Think about the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit. When you think about a member of the Godhead, we believe in the Trinity in this place, don't we? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? And the member of the Godhead, the third person, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. When you really get a hold of that, all of us need to get a hold of it better than what we have. But when we really get a hold of it, man, there's nothing going to bother us. There's nothing going to get us down. There's nothing that's going to defeat us in our life. Because greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. But we need to be reminded of these things. I'm not presenting to you this morning some new revelation. But I'll tell you something. I've got a fresh baked promise or a fresh baked meal for you today that may be something you've eaten before, but it's fresh today and it needs to be reiterated and down in our hearts today. Amen? Amen. Just because I ate Rose's cake last week doesn't mean I'm not willing to eat another one of Rose's cakes. Amen. Just because you heard some of these things before doesn't mean we don't need to eat them and want to eat them again. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. Going on with some of this. Number 7, Jesus has provided us spiritual water so we'll never thirst. I'm not going to turn to all of these. There's some I may and may not. But spiritual water so we'll never thirst. This is the account of the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman had 5 husbands prior to Jesus meeting her that day. And the one that she was living with now was not her husband. And yet there was an indication that this woman was hungry for God. She was searching for the Messiah. She perhaps had some inclination that the Messiah was close and coming soon, it seems in the dialogue that took place in that passage of Scripture. And so as Jesus is speaking to her, you know, he says to her, a Samaritan woman who Jews were not to have really any part with, and he says, "Will you draw me some water that I may drink?" And she said, "What do you have to do with me, a Samaritan woman? The Jews have no business with Samaritans." And he said, "If you knew of whom, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask him of water, and he'd give you water that you would never have to thirst again." Yeah, yeah. And you know what? She was trying, if you will allow me, she was attempting. She knew that there was a thirst in her heart for something. And it seems that that lady was trying to fill that thirst or quench that thirst with men and maybe other things as well. And yet she found nothing but discontent, nothing but sadness, nothing but heartache in her life. But Jesus said, "I've got the real spiritual water. I've got the real thing that will quench your thirst, lady. I've got the real thing that will quench your thirst. And it's going to spring up within you as everlasting life." Amen. He's given that to you and me, that spiritual water that we may drink. Number 8, he has given his flesh for the life of the world. This all kind of goes together, as I said, but you read the scriptures, you look him up. He has given his flesh for the life of the world. In number 9, it comes right out and says, he gives us eternal life. Yeah. Eternal life. Now, eternal means more than forever. Eternal means a higher kind of life, doesn't it? Yeah. It means Zoe. It means a higher kind of life. The life of God. The life of God is in you. You've got the DNA of the living God. You've got the DNA of the creator of the universe on the inside of you. I'm trying to share with you things that God has given us that might help us to just see what's going on around us a whole lot different than what we would otherwise. Amen? I mean, when we understand who we are, who Christ has made us to be, when we understand we've got the God kind of life on the inside of us, amen. Amen. Oh, it's got to become real to us. Amen? It's got to become real to us. He has given us. We're talking about his generosity. We're talking about what he has given us, that eternal life. And then number 10, which we've dealt with in past weeks recently, he has given us his peace, John 14:27. I'm just looking through as I went through these scriptures, looking through all the things that he has given us. He has given us peace. And so I want to submit to you this. Don't raise your hand. What are you worried about today? What is troubling you today? What are you fearful about today? I want you to know that you can cast off that worry and that fear in the name of Jesus and claim the promise of God that Jesus has left me his peace. God doesn't want us going around life worried and fearful and all these various things. That is not the abundant life Jesus came to bring us. Is that not right? And so are you worried? You're worried about finances. You're worried about your kids. Are you fearful about the future? Fearful about, radioactive water or whatever the case may be or whatever. And I know that those are real things that are happening in Japan and maybe even a little bit in other areas because of the things transferring through water and air and whatever else. But you know what? He called us to be free from worry.
Amen.
He is our refuge. He is our fortress. Amen. It's in him that we put our trust. And we need to remind ourselves of this and get fortified in these things. Number 11, when we meet, we're talking about him being a great giver. When we meet the conditions, he gives us whatever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, the Scripture says. What are the conditions? You got to ask according to the Scripture. You can't just ask for any old wild thing, amen? You got to have Scripture for it. But when you meet the conditions, you ask whatever you will in Jesus' name, he'll give it. Number 12, he has freely given us all things according to Romans 8 and verse 32. Freely given us all things with him. With Christ comes everything else that you need in life. With Christ, everything else is provided that you need. With Christ, you've got joy. With Christ, you've got obviously peace. With Christ, you've got wisdom available. We'll talk about that in a minute. With Christ, you've got everything. You've got healing for your body. With Christ, you've got forgiveness and free, therefore, of guilt and condemnation. With Christ, you can do all things because of his strengthening you. Isn't that right? With Christ, you got everything you need.
Amen. Amen.
In him is the provision for everything that was lost through Adam. Christ is restored. Now, granted, in this life, we may not receive all of it because we're not going to receive that heavenly kingdom just yet. But you know what? There's a taste of it now. There's a taste for us now. Amen. Amen. We're not going to receive that immortal body till the future, but thank God there's an element of health and healing that we can contend for in Jesus' name. Amen. I know everybody gets sick. Everybody gets attacked with sickness, but you know the good news is we have a right to fight it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God wants to heal me. Well, stop taking medicine then because he must want you sick. Isn't that right? But nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. I mean, you know, you follow what I'm saying? God even provided medicines, and I think you ought to be led by the Lord sometimes. Some medicines are worse than the sickness. I heard one the other day. It was about losing weight. And it was saying, you know, was it losing weight? It's some kind of thing that was supposed to treat you for. I can't remember what it was. But then the warnings. You ever hear them on the ads? The warnings. This one, man, you get lymphoma. You could have suicidal thoughts, or you kill yourself. Isn't it amazing how some of the antidepressants, one of the side effects might be you get depressed and kill yourself? I don't understand. I just don't understand, all right? But that's why I put this clause in here about medication. You need to be led by the Lord. But generally speaking, God has given wisdom to doctors to provide medication for us until we can believe God for total wellness. Isn't that right? But be led by the Lord, because some of that stuff, I don't think God inspired. All right. Amen. Let's go on with this. All right. Is everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Number 13, everything that pertains, it says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, everything that pertains to life and godliness, he's provided. Your natural life, your spiritual life is provided. It's yours. Claim it in Jesus' name. Number 14, he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Great and precious promises are ours. I wish I had time to go through them all, but that's okay. You've got the paper, you've got the references, and you've got a Bible. Amen? You take them, you look through those things, and you'll be blessed. Amen? All right? Great and precious promises. Number 50, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you know God wants us to enjoy life? I know many of you are aware of that, but I want to remind you of that, because some of you have not been enjoying life lately. You hear what I'm saying? You need to enjoy life. I know now spring is springing, so it's a little easier to enjoy life. This is a tough winter, though, wasn't it? I never wanted to see winter end so much in my whole life as this past winter. But you know, in spite of winter, you can still and should still be enjoying life. God wants us to enjoy life. I know there's a lot of things going on, but beside that, he wants us to enjoy life. Amen?
Yeah.
And you can enjoy life no matter what's happening, because enjoying life is a matter of your choice. You choose to enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? You choose to keep your focus on the right things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? In Jesus' name. Amen. All right? And so look up the scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17 talks about rich people giving and whatever. But then he includes all of us and says, who has given us all things, all of us, all things richly to enjoy. Number 16, God has given us all grace gifts. Do you know that? Do you know you've got a gift or gifts? You've got God-given abilities. You've got something to add to somebody else. We're talking about God's generosity in giving us giftings, but we need to realize that he's given us giftings so that we can be a gift and minister to other people as well. Amen? And that's why when I say about the power of giving, it's not just about money, giving of money. I'm talking about giving of yourself. I'm talking about giving of your gift. I'm talking about using the giftings God has given you in order to be a blessing to other people. Isn't that right? And you may say, like I used to say, I say to God, you know, when I was younger, I said, God, I have no gifts. I have no gifts. I can't do anything. I'm not good at anything. I have no gifts. And God just basically showed me from the Word of God that I was a liar, liar, pants on fire. But anyway, I'm even though he's given us all gifts. Now, we may not have all discovered those gifts yet. But you know what? That's up to us. Just seek God. He'll show you the giftings. Amen. Everybody has a gift. It may be in the work that you do, whatever that may be. You know, you can be a gift to other people in that work, that talent, that skill that you've acquired. It may be other things, you know. Amen. You may not even think you have it. I didn't think I had the ability. I don't have the ability to speak in front of people or to even be an encourager. You know, none of those things. I don't have the ability, but thank God for his ability. Amen. Yeah. Thank God for his ability that he imparts to us. And so he is the giver of all grace gifts. Number 17, he's given each one of us as the Spirit wills manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. I was going through and it says that each one has been given. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Each one, he has given us a gift as the Spirit wills to operate in, to be a blessing. Isn't that right? To be the profit of all, so that all might be profited. The gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit. Number 18, God has given us the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and you know the last part, and soundness of mind. Say, I have soundness of mind. That means healthy mind. That means a mind that is well off. And so stop saying, you know, or believing, you know, what your relative might say or somebody else might say, oh, you're nuts, you're crazy, you're dumb. All those things are lies. Right. Yeah. Amen. I know somebody keeps telling me, oh, man, I just don't have a good memory. I just don't have a good memory. I say, stop saying that. You're a liar. You're a liar. You have soundness of mind. Amen. You can remember anything you need to remember. And sometimes it's a matter of a little discipline and a little oomph and all of that. But nevertheless, don't say you can't. Amen? Don't say you can't. I can remember anything I need to remember. And I can forget anything I need to forget, too. Amen? There's some things I forget. Isn't that right? Amen. All right? And so I can remember. Say it. I can remember. All right. Amen. Praise God. That means you can learn anything God needs for you to learn. You can memorize Scripture. Somebody has said to me over the years, several people saying over the years, well, I just can't memorize Scripture. Yes, you can. You stop saying you can't. You can memorize Scripture. Number 19, he has promised to give us wisdom when we ask in faith. To give us wisdom. He wants to give you abundant wisdom. And that includes direction in life, doesn't it? And you know, if you're here today and you're kind of directionless, you don't know which direction to go, you don't know what God's plan is for your life, you believe him for wisdom, and just put your hand to whatever you find to do. Somebody said, and you know it's true, it's easier to steer a car when it's moving than when it's sitting still. Isn't that right? And so you keep moving, and God will begin to steer you as you seek his face, seek him, and he'll steer you, and you may end up going a different direction than what you ever imagined. I never imagined I'd be here this morning. You know, I was raised as a New Yorker. I was raised in Western New York. I know New York City people say that's not a real New Yorker, but I always thought we ought to give New York City New Jersey anyway. But anyway. But, you know, I was raised in New York, born and raised in New York, and I never wanted to live in New York. I was looking forward as a kid. I want to get out of New York. I want to go to the Rocky Mountains. Some of you know why. I want to go to the mountains. I want to go to the wilderness. I don't want to live in New York, any state but New York. Here I am, 50 years old. I'm still living in New York. So I'm telling you, you know what? It may be that direction God gives you is nothing like you imagine, but it'll always be the best. Because God knows you better than you know you. Isn't that right? He knows you better than you know you. All right? And then the last thing, number 20, he's given us a new commandment, hasn't he? He's given us a new commandment. Now, let's just look real quickly at slides here, and then we'll end for today. And it says in the next slide, gives you the scripture, 2 Peter 1:4, Roman numeral number 2 in your notes, our new nature is to be a giver like our Father. Here's what it says, 2 Peter 1:4, God made great and marvelous promises so that His nature would become part of us. Isn't that powerful? I'm going to read it again. God made great and marvelous promises so that His nature would become part of us. Then we would escape or could escape our evil desires and the corrupt influences of this world. And so the idea is that we've seen God's nature and how generous He's been to us. And now He's placed His nature on the inside of us and called us to be generous as well. Look at the quote in your notes. Gaze upon Christ long enough and you'll become more of a giver. Give long enough and you'll become more like Christ. Amen? Not just about money. I'm talking about give. Be a giver in your attitude. Be a giver in your nature. Come to church thinking, what can I give? How can I encourage somebody? How can I lift somebody up? Not talking about money. Talking about being a giver. A giver of encouragement, a giver of love, a giver of mercy. Having an attitude when you come to church or wherever you go. You go to work in the morning. You know, I'm not there just to get a paycheck. I'm there to see who I can give to. I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to pray for somebody. I remember when I worked at a bakery years ago. I was 21, 20 years old. I don't know what it was. And man, I prayed. Now, I was doing it on my off time. I was in the bakery, though. I wasn't on the clock or anything else. And this Catholic lady, she had been listening to me and everything. She had accepted the Lord and everything. And she wanted to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. So you know what we did? We prayed right in that bakery. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Spoke in tongues right there. Catholic lady. Amen? Amen. Right in the bakery. Now don't go doing that kind of thing. If you're on the clock, you're supposed to be working to get paid. But I'm talking about when we weren't on the clock. Amen. All right? And so to give, just this idea, this generous spirit, this generous attitude, the power of giving is an amazing thing. Quickly then, letter A, we're to give forgiveness. I'm going to go through these quickly. Some of these things we've talked about. We're to give forgiveness. I went through the New Testament and wrote down some of the scriptures about what you and I are to give. This isn't all of them. But we're to give forgiveness. Letter B, we're to give mercy. Mercy instead of judgments, right? Letter C, we're to be givers of praise and thanksgiving to God, aren't we? The giving of thanks to God. Letter D, we're to freely give what we have freely received. In that context of Matthew 10, it talks about how Jesus had healed the sick. He had cleansed the leper. He had raised the dead. And Jesus said to His disciples, go as freely you have received, freely give. He's sending them out to do what He was doing for others. Amen? All right? And letter E, ministers, according to Acts 6:4, are to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. That's to be the priority for full-time preaching type ministers. Prayer and the ministry of the word. That's supposed to be their priority. Amen. Now, I do a lot of other things, and sometimes it's to my detriment, the detriment of the scriptures and the detriment of seeking God, whatever. But sometimes that's necessary. God forgives me for that. But nevertheless, I'll tell you, the priority has got to be prayer and the ministry of the word. I know a lot of pastors, and I'm telling you, they need to hear this afresh again because they're out socializing. They're out having coffee and cake and talking and golfing and all these various things, which there's a balance to life. But you know what? If it's at the detriment of prayer and the ministry of the word, something's wrong with that.
Right, right.
There's no preachers here to get mad at me anyway. All right, but anyway. All right, let's go on with this. All right, real quickly now we're going to wrap this up. All right, letter F, the rich are to be ready to give of their riches, as are all believers to a certain extent. Letter G, all believers are to give themselves to the Lord. Give themselves to the Lord. H, all believers are to give of the giftings God has placed within them. I mentioned that before, the grace giftings. Give of the giftings, right? And then finally, wrapping this up, all believers are to be givers of their substance. That means their finances, their goods. And included with that is, am I going too fast? Everybody with me? I'd like the worship team to come on up, if you would. We're going to close this out. All believers, letter I, are to be givers of their substance. And with that, we're to give to the poor. And you saw that DVD a little while ago about those young people that had been brought up in dire poverty, more poverty than we could even imagine in many cases. And not just poverty, but all the things that poverty brings, whether it be drugs and incest and rape and all these things that many times goes along with that. you know, giving to the poor. I mean, as a corporate church, we give to the poor. We give regularly to City Mission. We support an orphanage in Kenya and some other things that go on. Alpha Pregnancy, in some respects, is giving to the poor. But yet, even as individuals, to see God, to see where you might do that as well. Amen? And maybe the orphans that are out there today might be one way and one area that God would lead you to do. But the giving to the poor. Number two, we're to give to the gospel. And that implies or is referring to ministries that are preaching the gospel. Make sure they're preaching the gospel, though. Make sure it's the gospel they're preaching. Amen? And watch and listen for a while. Make sure. And then finally, number three, we're to give into the storehouse, which the storehouse is the local church. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's just pray today. We've had a lot happening, but I believe the Lord's been blessed. Amen. One more verse. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Here's one more verse, the next frame. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy Him and follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their Father and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Let's be imitators of our Father. Amen? Amen. And be generous in everything we do. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise You and give You glory today. We thank You. We thank You for working in all our lives. We're so grateful for how You're working in these young people's lives, Father God. And many of us wish that when we were that young, that things like that were experiences that we had, Father God. We're just so grateful it's happening now. And Father God, we pray that You would cause all of us to again catch a fresh fire in our hearts, to win the lost, to love the Word of God, to be generous in our lifestyle in every way. Thank You for working a work in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just worship God for just a minute. Whatever's on your heart, folks, whatever's on your heart, Ben.
I am a free to run. I am free to live for You. I am free Hallelujah, Lord. Freedom, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I am free today. Jesus.